Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
It is indeed Bloomberg Markets. Corey Johnson here in San Francisco in our AM 960 studios. Carol Masser back in Midtown Manhattan in our world headquarters.
Yep, indeed. And we're going to talk about housing, semiconductors, golf. Our next guest likes those
anything
areas.
Anything else?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
Those are three good areas. And I find the golf one an interesting one, especially since we find less and less people playing, it seems like. Hey, let's get to your top business stories, though, and an update on today's trading session. Here is, once again, Charlie Pellett.
All right. Thank you very much, Carol Masser. Thank you, Corey Johnson. We've got the Dow and S&P lower now. NASDAQ holding on to its gains. That means NASDAQ is at a record, but stocks are stumbling after a six-day rally took them to records. The dollar fluctuating with oil as investors assess fresh data showing the U.S. economy to be on firm footing. Here's where we stand with just about 28 minutes to go ahead of the close. S&P down half a point at 2414. Little change there. The Dow down 5, down less than 0.1%. The NASDAQ Composite Index trading at a record up 3 to 6208, up by less than 0.1%. The 10-year up 2/32, yield 2.25%. Gold up 11.20 the ounce to 12.67. That is a gain of 0.9%. West Texas Intermediate crude up 89 cents to $49.79 a barrel, higher by 1.8%. Sarah Hunt is with Alpine Funds, and on Bloomberg Television this morning, she says investors have to be keeping an eye on Washington.
The question is going to be, can some of those reforms actually happen? And if they don't, do we then have a drop in those, in the confidence and those animal spirits? And if that happens, do things slow down a little bit more? Because again, growth hasn't been that great, and a lot of companies' profit margins and everything else has been on the back of cost cutting and not revenue growth, or the kind of things that you want to see in what you would like to think of as a better economy.
Costco Wholesale gaining the most in a month after outpacing its brick and mortar rivals with its latest results. Costco shares up 1.7%. So again, recapping, equities little changed with the S&P now higher by less than half a point. We have got the Dow down 3, NASDAQ up 3, a gain of less than 0.1%. I'm Charlie Pellett. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.
Keep on running. Keep on hiding.
Let's see if our next guest thinks the markets will keep on running higher. Our next guest is Mark Chaikin. He's founder and chief executive officer at Chaikin Analytics. He joins us on the phone from Philadelphia. Mark, nice to have you here on Bloomberg Radio. Got to talk a bit about this market. It's kind of the bull market that nobody seems to like. Do you agree? And does that portend good things for stocks to continue to move up?
Well, Carol, I think that the market is moving higher. We've had a long-standing target of 2450. To 2,500 on the S&P 500 index. And the reason I'm bullish here is that we've gone from a Fed-driven bull market to an earnings-driven bull market. And I think this is now a global earnings-driven bull market, and that just enhances what's been going on here in the States.
Interestingly, so do you know, which is the tail, which is the dog there?
Well, we've been the dog wagging the tail, but now with Europe kicking in, you've got a global expansion of profits and revenues, and I think this is a very, very powerful combination after 6 years of a Fed-driven bull market.
So let's talk about names, because you know, you're making investment decisions, you're placing bets. From what I understand, you were listening before you got going here, and you have looked at Tesla. Do you like it?
Well, we have a 20-factor quantitative model grouped into four primary factors. Our model is neutral on Tesla primarily because the momentum is so strong. I think this is one of the great story stocks of our lifetime, but I'm making a prediction that if people buy and hold Tesla, the company may do well, but buying it here with a $50 billion-plus market cap, I don't think investors are going to make any money, even if the company does well. If the company does poorly and other companies like Mercedes-Benz and General Motors come out with electronic cars, self-driving cars, then it's going to be a disaster in the making. But right now, the bulls are happy and the shorts are hurting, and that makes for a big momentum story stock.
Well, we just had a report from our Dana Hull, Bloomberg News reporter, saying that their second ever electric product ever made, this car vehicle that they've made, is already having a struggling.
And that's the case, but they're also burning cash like crazy. So what's going to happen? They're going to have to raise equity and raise debt. So that means that shareholders are going to be diluted, even if the company is successful. So I just don't cotton to the whole Tesla story. And at some point in our lifetime, I think there's going to be a waterfall decline if all of these negative factors converge.
Do you look at a pair trade and say, hey, maybe take Ford long and Tesla short and just walk away from the Tesla thing and say it's a story stock unto its own?
Right now, I think you need to avoid the whole automobile complex. Auto parts are really doing poorly. We actually put out sell recommendations on three auto parts stocks about 6 weeks ago based on our power gauge quantitative model, and they've all had negative earnings surprises and are making 52-week lows. This would be Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone, and O'Reilly Automotive. So I just think this is a sector to avoid right now.
Because why?
Hard to say. I think, the emergence of Uber means that people are, in theory, driving less. Used car prices are plummeting. A stock like Avis is making new lows. Hertz has not done well. Sometimes you don't need to know the why. You just have to follow the quant model. And our quant model has been bearish on these stocks for quite some time.
You're also bearish on the energy sector and oil services and the drillers, Schlumberger among them. Tell us the thinking there. Again, I know you've got your proprietary research approach, but these guys are coming up as well.
Well, I think what's happening in energy is even though the price of oil has stabilized in the $50 a barrel range, there's still not a lot of drilling going on. But the interesting thing is that analysts are maintaining their buy ratings, Wall Street analysts, on both Schlumberger and Helmerich & Payne. What they're doing is reducing their price targets and their earnings estimates. Well, that's sort of like being half pregnant. It's not possible. So this is typical Wall Street behavior. Maintain the buy rating so everybody's happy, but lower your estimates and
so they
lower
beat
your
numbers.
Price targets. Yeah. These are stocks making new 52-week lows. In a market that's making new 52-week highs, the last place you want to be is in stocks making new 52-week lows. I have a saying that bottom fishing is the most expensive sport in America, and people who are buying energy stocks right now are absolutely bottom fishing, in my view.
Mark, got to be quick, 20 seconds. I mentioned you like golf, Callaway Golf specifically. Why? And just quickly.
Well, we're heading into golf season, and the stock has a new line of golf balls coming out. They're facing headwinds, though, because the power gauge rating is bullish. They're facing headwinds because the golfing population is shrinking. So the power gauge rating is bullish. It's been a rumored takeover stock. They have new irons and new balls that they've come out with. So this is a stock that you can buy, but it's more of a trade than an investment from my point of view.
Callaway Golf, by the way, up 17% so far this year. Mark Chaykin, founder and chief executive officer at Chaykin Analytics, on the phone from Philadelphia. I saw a great golf tournament last weekend. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Let's get to Adrienne Mitchell right now, who doesn't have golf, but she does have world and national news headlines for our 99.1 studios in D.C.
Well, some people might say it's a complicated game, Corey and Carol, but G7 nations have had more than their usual difficulty reaching consensus with a new president in their midst, as Bloomberg's Irv Chapman reports.
The new president of France and the prime minister of Great Britain, among others, appealed to President Trump in their one-on-one meetings to recommit to the Paris Agreement on climate change. Prime Minister Theresa May said afterwards,
"We had a very good discussion about the importance of this issue. The United States is considering its position in relation to these matters and what its policy is going to be."
They also said she sought the acknowledgement of President Trump that intelligence leaks relating to the Manchester investigation were unacceptable, and he agreed with that. The president smarting from leaks of his own White House activities. Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
A top White House official now says the president's views on climate change are evolving after his meeting at the G7 summit. The final communique from that event is likely to be a quick read. Officials involved in preparing it tell Bloomberg News it could be only 10 pages or so long, a sign of the persistent divisions between President Trump and the rest of the group. FBI scrutiny of Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, is bringing the probe into Russia's role during and after last year's campaign into the heart of the White House. A person familiar says Kushner has not been named a primary target. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Adrienne Mitchell.